welcome back to Holy Crap. Thanks for waiting for the 2 weeks. This vlogcast comes from a skeptical point of view to try and answer the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when somebody on Facebook finally said, stop bringing your skepticism and truth and reality into stuff when we're posting stuff just because we find it funny. Let us have our little fun here. So that's the way it ended up. I am known as Shujin Tribble, all over the place. I am an unabashed atheist, originally born into a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island, now living outside of Buffalo, New York, and tonight we have effectively no topic. This, however, is the first of June 2014. Welcome to episode number Smoke 'em if you got 'em. Some of you will get the reference. Joining me on tonight's show is Unrenowned Tech.
Hey guys, and we should have did a screen capture on Joe there after you said that, because that was epic. That was perfect. I'm Unrenowned Tech. I live in Maryland, and thanks to Article 37, I am not allowed to hold public office because I don't have a religious belief.
And also joining us tonight is Joe Cox.
All jokes aside, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Joseph Cox, 8-year veteran of the armed forces, raised Catholic in Chicago, Illinois, currently living atheist in Pittsburgh.
And we may end up having one or two extra people finally joining us this evening. The word has gone out for Mr. Dr. Professor Jake Farr Wharton III, Esquire, to join us. I think I got all of his titles correctly. For those of you that were kind of wondering where we were last week, I have to kind of apologize. I was otherwise indisposed.
No, don't apologize.
Doing a 36-hour radio marathon stream. And Joe, you said that you had the final official time tally on that?
The official time tally that I had was... Oh, darn it. Of course, you'd ask me after I closed down the program that actually has it in its logs, but I believe it was somewhere in the ballpark of 36 hours, 19 minutes, 20 seconds.
Close enough.
Folks, and you shouldn't apologize, because you should never apologize for doing something you love when it doesn't harm somebody, because what he was doing was actually to prevent people from coming to harm, and to assist people who were in harm's way, and in memory of a loved one.
That, and we don't apologize on the show.
Well, that's not entirely true. I have, on occasion, because I try not to follow the DJ Rule Zero on the show unless it's a Power of 10 show. And for those of you that are kind of wondering, every 10th episode is intentionally an unsafe for work show. I've intentionally decided that that's the way that I'm going to do it. Which means we may end up with the guys from Scathing Atheist again. We may end up just ranting and raving about everything and anything we can think of on every 10th episode. So if you're really looking for stuff to really get you pissed off at, come back every 10th episode. Or, you know, don't. It's fine. I don't mind at all. Really, I don't.
Every 10th episode, you see nice people saying bad things.
As opposed to every other episode where we're... bad people saying nice things?
No, as opposed to every other episode where we're nice people just saying logic.
Sure, yeah, we'll go with that. Anyway. What the hell? I don't know if you just see it all at the backside of my... On the other side over there.
Somebody backing into your driveway?
I don't think so. Could have been the Scientologists. No, we're good. Apparently it's a... neighbor across the street, which is fine.
Right, did you piss off the Scientologists again?
Well, actually, we kind of did, didn't we, Joe?
Yeah, but that's okay because the Scientologists pissed us off first.
Pretty much, yeah.
Eye for an eye.
Oh, it gets even better than that. All right, well, so yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's just, you know, short, long explanation. Short. We were looking for a list to do on last night's show. And we found one on Scientology called the 5 Most Disturbing Things I Learned in the Scientology Space Navy, which alone sounded absolutely epic. And then we read the first article of it on air or off air, and it was hilarious, and we loved it. So we did those. We did the first article, and then it stopped being funny.
Yeah, after about the second item, it became
no, right at the second.
Creepy.
Okay, first off, there is no Mormon Space Navy. If you're going to join the Space Navy, you join the Royal Caribbean Navy. Okay.
No. This was the Scientologists, not the Mormons. The Scientologists.
Yeah, well, the Mormons, they have the planets. I'm sorry. Yes, I like to read Chris Longknife.
Yeah. That's okay. So tonight we really don't have any kind of set schedule as far as to what we're going to end up talking about. I'm going to basically let folks know, first off, that if you're watching us live, and of course, thank you very much for that, you can take advantage of the question and answer system over there on the webpage, and you can type out a question, or if you just want to say a quick hi, get yourself recognized on air. Vanity is a wonderful thing. We got no problem with that. As a matter of fact, that's part of the reason why I do what I do. Vanity is a very powerful piece. So, you know, take the opportunity. Enjoy it. And why not?
And don't worry, we won't be making any dead baby jokes tonight, but we might make some references to Amish Wolverine.
Speak for yourself.
Exactly so.
Why did the dead baby cross the road?
Oh, come on. Everybody knows that it was stapled to the chicken. Give it a rest.
I'm not going to apologize for them. They can go ahead and damn well apologize for their own damn selves.
I don't apologize.
Yes, and Joe, yes.
I know nothing.
You're in the Q&A.
I know nothing.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you that are watching after the fact, of course, via YouTube or whatever else, if you would like to join us, by all means, please follow me over on G+, Twitter, Facebook. You'll be able to get information about the upcoming shows and let you know, when you can listen in, participate, as well as... Who knows? Maybe we will find a way of getting folks to call in so they can be on the show and such. There's a couple possibilities to do that with. And a hello. How the hell do I pronounce that?
Aquatica Chris.
Aquatica. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Now that, yes. That is either a tag. Oh, nope. That's a cougar. No, that's a cougar and that's a tiger. Hi, kitties.
Meow, 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 meow.
I'm not apologizing for him. You can rip his lungs out later.
These are both wonderful kitties who were on the or who were listening in on the Friday show last night.
Very much so. And Rain, thank you very much also for paying in. All right. So as far as to stuff to talk about, let me take a look through some of the stuff that had been asked before. I'm going to kind of take one from S. Ross's collection of emails that we got a while ago. No, it's now before anybody kind of gets a little concerned about this one.
No. What I'm talking about is the fact that it seems like we have one person who asks a lot of really good questions, and everybody else is just kind of like, I'm going to sit over here and be quiet for a while. It's like, make some noise, people.
Yeah, and that's okay,
yeah,
too.
Exactly like that. Wow.
Yeah, and it that's okay, too. I mean, not everybody wants to go ahead and be recognized or be called out, and we understand that. We respect that. But S. Ross has, in the past, asked a lot of questions, some of which didn't necessarily make sense, some of which are really thick and take a lot of unpacking to really understand them. And I've tried working through a couple of them myself, and some of them I will admit I cannot brain through quite well enough. But there's a good one over here that I figure might be a decent one to try to tackle. And I think I pretty well know where to go with this one. So the email a while ago had gone as this. I'm hoping that I'm not. No, we'd already tackled that one.
How about premarital sex? Everybody likes sex.
No, not everybody does.
No, because John Green already tackled that one, and I don't think we can do better than Cheerios.
Wait, what happened with the Cheerios?
I'll explain after the show.
No, you're gonna explain exactly right now on the show.
Okay, pretty much, he made an analogy between people. Somebody asked him whether or not judging a partner by the number of sexual partners they had had previously was justifiable, and his response was no. In fact, I find it to be really stupid, and I find it really sad that women are held to a different standard than men. It'd be like eating all different kinds of cereals throughout my life, and then on the 49th, I'm eating Cheerios, and Cheerios is like, how can you enjoy me? I'm the 49th cereal you've eaten. Look, just because I've had other cereals doesn't mean that I don't enjoy your crunchy goodness.
Okay.
It's fine. Yeah, there are, oh God, you know what? And that actually works out well. Because now, no. Because now you've actually, we've ended up going into something that's caught into my head. It's got nothing to do with the previous emailed stuff.
Oh dear.
As far as to, no. We can actually
do a crunchy goodness. We'll be okay.
No, we can do one better. Something that was mentioned on Friday night's show. For folks that are unaware in the future, because, you know, I mean, 3025, we're really looking forward to you guys trying to, you know, talk back to us. The closing music from the movie Despicable Me 2 is Pharrell Williams' song Happy. And if you haven't yet had the opportunity of listening to the song, it's cute. It's upbeat, it's poppy, it moves around, it's happy.
And it's not as much of an earwig as, say, Witchy Bunny's favorite song, like Let It Go.
Oh jeez.
We're not even gonna, no.
Don't go there. Let it go. Okay.
I will be right back.
Okay. Just to mute out your microphone otherwise. Alrighty.
Might as well hear
so
him pooping.
I will temporarily mute his microphone. And I will get that in a moment. So the piece that I figured that we could talk about really quickly is from... Oh, Joe is back. Let me unmute you.
He had to go grab another pack.
Yes. Somehow or other, you are muted, Joe. One second. I had muted you myself.
There.
Can you unmute yourself? There you are. There.
I think when you muted me, it muted me both on your side and my side, so we both had to undo it. But I just realized that it's been really humid the last couple days, and I finally put my fans into the windows, and I just realized that my microphone was directly in line with the two doorways to my computer room, which, you know, in effect puts it in direct line with the fans, and I was worried that those might have been causing some interference, so yeah. I went ahead and shut the doors.
No,
so I'm
going to
be sweating.
All right, you're doing just fine.
The things I do for our art.
What we talked about...
Wait, are we calling this art?
You know what, if people can go ahead and put a crucifix inside of a urinal with some kind of yellow liquid inside of it all and call it art... Yes, we will.
Wait a minute, they start putting crucifixes on the urinal cakes? I thought those were wafers you were supposed to eat.
We'll discuss it later.
It's wafer thin!
We'll discuss it afterwards. Anyway, the point being,
I love the helmet he came out with after that, sorry.
There have been a number of people who have done videos of their own singing or lip syncing to the song Happy, and again by Pharrell Williams. And unfortunately, there were a number of people who were arrested in Iran, youngsters, and in their 20s, if I remember right. I don't have the story in front of me, so I can't, you know.
What were they doing? Singing?
They were lip-syncing to the song, and they did their own video and uploaded it to YouTube. And even though the government, the official government, said, you know, there's nothing wrong with being happy, we should all be happy, the theocratic portion of it all, the mm-hmm. Oh God, what? Joe, help me out here. What is
police?
Yeah, yes. I'm trying to remember what is the name of the.
We here in America know them as the religious police. Well, because that's what they are.
Well, it's like that in many different countries in the Middle East.
Right.
Which country was this precisely? Iraq?
Iran.
Iran. Oh, Iran. Oh, shit.
It was the supreme.
Supreme rulers of the religions.
Something like that. Anyway, the point of it was, had put out an arrest order, had them arrested, had them jailed, and they were going to be going up for some kind of religious based, not exactly blasphemy so much as being insulting to Islam or some such bullshit contest like that. And they, I think there's like a six of them or whatever.
The name? Both,
yes.
The name is Basaji.
Okay, and title?
That's their title. Basaji is they act as morality police.
Okay. What I was trying to remember was the title that,
like the title of the organization.
Well, like the Ayatollah. I mean, he had some kind of high grand vizier, kind of ultimate head of the religion or whatever the hell it was.
I don't remember what you're asking about. The head of
the
Revolutionary Guard.
It could be.
Yeah. Basaji are subordinate to receiving their orders from the Iranian National Guard or the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and the current Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khomeini.
Hold it. The Supreme Leader?
Yeah. Right now, the commander is Mohammad Reza Naqdi.
Okay. And you said the title was Supreme Leader?
Supreme Leader Ayatollah is the leader of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Commander of the Basaj is the commander of the moral police.
Okay. Okay. So, as you can see, we a lot of prep work on the show at non-existent. Sorry.
As far as the current leader is Major General Muhammad Ali Jafari. Sorry.
You're thinking the same thing I am, aren't you?
Yep.
Okay, which just points out how much we're just dirty Americans in this, just not much of anything
to do with. Sorry. You know, it is funny, though. All the other Disney villains kind of got at least some explanation to their backstory. Jafar really didn't get one. There's a YouTube channel that starts to explain it, but you'll see why it's a short video.
There's not much to him. He's got himself a bird that's sentient, that talks, and he's got a thirst for power.
Incredible cosmic powers! Bleeding space.
Yeah, and even smaller with the bird inside of it, which just all kinds of bad. Anyway, the point being that the morality police, for lack of a better term for it, basically came down and said, this is wrong, this is Western influence, and you should not be at all acting like this. So we're going to jail you, and you can go ahead and post bail, which they did, and it's just not cool. It's just not cool at all. Now, there is a bright side to this, which is that as of currently, to the best of my knowledge, none of these people have had acid thrown into their faces yet. So, you know, good to you guys over there in Iran. Thank you for, you know, coming up to the, I don't know, at least mid-1950s for the rest of the world on that.
But, you know, if they do water down the acid, you could get a nice exfoliation going.
He's, you know, the sad part of it is he's right.
Chemistry 101, bitches.
Something to be noted, though. The folks over there, they're not the folks that we're talking about right now are not the majority. And no, I can speak from experience. And it is important to note that, you know, the whole Fox News characterization that they like to give everybody in the Middle East is wrong. And I am speaking as somebody who's been deployed 3 times overseas. They are some of the nicest people I've ever met. And, you know, they like to argue, everybody looks angry. No, people, it's just hot over there.
Oh, you took the line from
Fluffy. Yeah, I did. Yes, I did. And you know what, Fluffy, we love you. Give me air conditioning. I am so happy.
I kill you.
But the...
Okay.
Wait, are we allowed to say that on YouTube?
Sure, why not? And the... I guess the biggest point about the whole thing that's really disturbing to me is that the government, the secular government, didn't really see any problem with this, and as well they should, because they're not doing anything. They're singing and dancing, and they're creating something artistic in a visual, audio-visual medium. They made a movie. It's the theocratic side of it all that got themselves all bent out of shape. When what they're bent out of shape about is that you're not doing what I think you should be doing. And that's what it comes down to. You're not doing what I say that you should do, and suddenly there's blood in the water, and people are going looking for hangings and beheadings and shootings and throwing out into the middle of the desert with salt water in your canteen, whatever the hell it is. And it makes no sense to me whatsoever, and it makes even less sense when I try to explain to people here in the U.S. That's what you guys are trying to pull here. If you
want the government... Oh, no, they're not trying to pull that here because it's all about Christ.
Right. If you want to go ahead and say, our laws... here in the country known as the United States of America, if our laws are supposed to be to the benefit of any religious group, then that's a problem. That is directly against the intention of this country, regardless of what these people want to overlook the First Amendment entirely. And it's the first stepping stone towards the term theocracy.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire part, the entire meaning of the term theocracy is the government is based on a religion. And here in the United States, even though 70%+ of the population follows some version of Christianity, of which there are lots of different versions, when you go ahead and you say, we get a break where others don't, that's contravening, yeah, that's the right word for it, the intent of the government setup that we've got.
And the easier way to think about it for somebody in layman's terms, instead of throwing around the big words and all that fun stuff, because even I like to throw around big words from time to time, think of your local firehouse. Is your firehouse on public or private property? Well, the fire department is usually located on government-owned, quote-unquote, public property. Okay? It's not your property. It's owned by the government, or it's public land, one of the two. So that means that they cannot use that property to... speak up one religion or another without either being able to speak up all religions or speak up or completely not engage in any religious stance whatsoever. So if you feel that your local fire department should be able to put the baby Jesus out during Christmas time, then you have to understand that if they allow that, they also have to allow the Islamic community of Muslims to put out anything that they want to put out if there's anything during that time for them. Same well for the Satanist community, same for the atheist community, even though they may not, they're not religious, they have their own things that we like to put out, like benches with words of wisdom from our forefathers, which there should be nothing wrong with that, but people don't like it because it's not religious. And you either allow everybody to do something on that land, or you allow nobody. And our government was set up so that it was supposed to be nobody. That way, one group is not being favored over the other.
Supposed to be just business, just government business, that's all.
Right. The firefighters are there to put out fires and to help prevent fires through education. If your local fire department hasn't done at least once a year some kind of fire prevention educational program or speak out, even just flyers around the neighborhood, go talk to them, say, hey, listen, do you need help? And volunteer some time with them. But other than that, that's all they should be focusing on. Your church or your synagogue or your temple or whatever religious place of worship, those are the places that talk about the Christmas tree or the Yule log or whatever the other faiths have. I'm not truly familiar with that. Or like the menorah, Hanukkah, Jews in the home, all that. Or in the case of atheists, the bench, the wonderful, wonderful bench. How many of those have gone out across America?
Oh, I'm gonna hit you on that in just a second.
Yeah.
Go on.
So the point is, in layman's terms, our government, regardless of what our forefathers believed at the time, they knew the government could not be religious-based. Believe it or not, whether you like it or not, the facts are, is our government was not based on religion. Therefore, you do not get to have your religious beliefs pushed upon me, or Sujin, or Joe, or your friend down the street. Even if they're the same faith as you, you still don't get to push it on them. They get the choice to change their mind.
Yep. And now,
but in the Middle East, they don't get that.
True enough, Joe, yeah.
Idea, one of these days, one of these sets of 10, we really should go over like the first 10 Bill of Rights amendments.
Oh, absolutely. That's on the schedule.
But, yeah, the whole freedom of religion thing, it's twofold, folks. You have the freedom to practice whatever you want. I have the freedom to not practice what you want. You have the freedom to your religion, I have a freedom from your religion.
Yep. Now, this is where it becomes really interesting. And Tiger Lily, we will be getting to your question in just a second, because that's a really, really good one, a really tough one to cover. Some of you may have heard about the... Now, it wasn't a bench. It was a Ten Commandments statue, I believe it was, in Oklahoma. And they did... Go ahead.
The one in the courthouse, right?
I believe it was, yes. Now, here's where it gets to be funny. There are a number of places where individuals have said, and sometimes in the court have said, I want a $4,000-$5,000 gravel carved piece of stone with the Ten Commandments on it. And I wanted in the state house or on the rotunda or whatever the fuck it was. I didn't say that anyway.
Yeah. State Supreme Court.
Right. Now, according to the First Amendment, and again, we will end up talking about that one probably in 2 weeks for the next 10th episode. You're not supposed to do that. And the various courts have come down and said you're not supposed to do that, with a caveat. You can't do just one. So,
like a Pringles.
If you want to have the Ten Commandments up, you can do that, provided if anybody else comes along and says that they want their religion displayed somehow or other, you have to allow that as well. Case in point, Oklahoma went ahead and said, okay, we've got our Ten Commandments statue, so it's up there, and sure, if we have to allow others, we'll go ahead and we'll do that.
Within reason of zoning laws, of course.
Opening the floodgate for anybody to come along. Now, one of the gentlemen that I'm trying to get on the show is Sam Mulvey from Ask an Atheist. So if anybody's watching the show, send a message over to Sam and say, hey, the guys over at Holy Crap would really like you to get back in touch with them and get on the show. Thanks very much. But Sam had this great idea. I want the Satanists to get right on this one. Guess what?
Yeah, they did not disappoint, did they?
Whether they heard Sam or not, they got right on that. Here's a picture of what they did, as shown from KOCO Channel 5 out there. This is the design that they want to put up.
Wait, is Satan holding up the shocker? Oh, that's never mind. That's just not
okay. Two fingers. He's holding up two fingers. His lap is there as a seating place for people to just sit at and relax and reflect. And he is very kindly there with two children, a boy and a girl, on either side of him, not doing anything, not saying anything. There is nothing on there that is objectionable, other than perhaps the fact that he's horny, baby. Yeah, horny.
Not with the children. Please, somebody. Won't somebody please think of the children?
Now, here's the part that bothers me. If that was a sculpture of Santa Claus, nobody would have a problem with it.
Well,
nobody from the Christian faith would have a problem with it being
Santa. The Pepsi guys might have a problem with it.
Yeah, but, you know, they don't count because Coca-Cola.
Yeah, there is that. And now here's the thing about it.
I'm just kidding, Pepsi. I love Mountain Dew. I love Mountain Dew. Please don't ever stop making this stuff.
Anyway, the point being, Oklahoma now has to come down and say either, okay, we'll put it up, in which case the religious right people who have been at the polling booths are going to yell up a storm, or they say, no, we're not going to put it up, in which case the government is going to come down and say,
take the other one down.
You're not going to allow this one. Why? Because you don't agree with it? Congratulations! That's why everybody else has been complaining about the Ten Commandments. Take it all down or put it all up. Your choice, or we will start fining you, and we will fine everyone. And then, when all is said and done, it will come down because we will take it down. If you don't want to listen to us when we tell you what to do, we will force you to do what we told you to do because it's what the court and the legal system has said you're supposed to do. Remember when you were elected and you took your oath of office and you promised to uphold the law? We will enforce that law. Do you remember what happened in Little Rock, Arkansas in the 50s? We'll make it happen all over again, and you'll be the first ones in the 21st century. Ball is in your court. Have a nice day. Joey, you were in the military. You know a little something about what happened in Little Rock, Arkansas in the 50s. You remember that one?
Yep. That was the reserves, so.
Still. You want to give a short?
I think he's waiting for you to provide a blurb on it, Joe.
Oh,
nudge, boy. Nudge, wink, wink, say no more.
Well, if it's we're talking about the escorts, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
Do they have escorts in Oklahoma?
No, not that kind.
Damn it.
Sort of.
Boy, would it be interesting if this was a story of uniformed escorts.
Dude, I've got to move if it was.
Sadly, different kind of uniform, different kind of escort. When desegregation was hit in Little Rock, the schools had to allow the small number of black students to attend, and there were threats against them. And there were the schools tried shutting their doors. So the governor said, nope, we're not playing this game. He called in the National Guard, the Arkansas National Guard, and he went ahead and had them personally escort those students to school to ensure their safety and just to ensure that they were allowed in. They escorted them to the school, they stood guard at the classrooms, and they escorted them home. And they did that for 3 months.
And why? Because, as the expression goes, it was the right thing to do. So I can't wait to see how this is going to play out. Yeah.
You know, it surprises me that people jump on the bandwagon of, yeah, slavery's bad, but no, my religion isn't slavery. My religion isn't imposing upon you, but your religion is everywhere telling me what to do, what to think, and if I say something against it, you jump down my throat saying that that's not right because I don't believe what you believe, and therefore I'm wrong, and I shouldn't say anything, and I should just go quietly into the night. Yeah, they said the same thing about the Blacks.
Mm-hmm. Joe?
Tech, I don't know if you were listening last night, but all I can say is ask a Scientologist.
No, I wasn't listening last night. I was fixing my computer last night.
I will be sure to give you a link to the article that was discussed.
Yep. Now, the question that had been brought up by Tiger Lily, and thank you very much for this one. Again, this is not an easy question. In some ways it is, in some ways it isn't. And I'll tell you why I really don't know how to answer this one. The question is, do you guys think we should go over to the Middle East and take control of their government, seeing as how their own is so cruel to their people? This is really, really a can of worms. A huge can of worms.
I've got an easy answer for that one.
Go right ahead.
The easy answer is no. Easy answer is we should get the hell out of Dodge, come back here, and we should... I'm not saying that we should isolate ourselves from the world, okay? I want you to understand that there is no such thing anymore as isolation in the world. The whole world is interconnected. But I believe we should let them manage their politics and whatnot while we get ourselves under control and start maturing as a country. We need it's cheaper. There were studies done, and it turns out that it's cheaper to house our homeless in apartment complexes than it is to let them live on the street and police them and clean up and all this other crap. Okay, we can find jobs for the people in this country if we just actually put an effort into it. I'm sorry, but how many homeless people live in areas where they could to actually go around and pick up trash, you know, or help recycle? They sort the trash that they've picked up. Okay, look, aluminum. We need aluminum for the things that we build, for electronics, all sorts of stuff, right? So there's an employable job. We have a huge workforce here in the States. Crops, you name it. We've got jobs here. People don't want to admit that. Politicians don't want to admit that. Companies want it their way.
The
cheap way. Well, hey, look, there is a cheap labor force. Just promise to feed them and house them. Trust me, there are plenty of people who would be willing to work if you could guarantee a roof over their head, a hot meal in their stomach, and a bed to sleep on every day.
Okay, so for you, it's don't get over there because we've got employable people over here.
It's don't go over there because we have got problems we need to solve here. The problems of religion encroaching on things that they shouldn't be, like public education and politics. Stop that. Let's get back to business and worry about get our politicians worried about politics and not religion, and get back on track. Let's worry about getting our renewables in place, solar, wind. And I forget what they call it, but it's it turns mechanical energy from the wave motions, or the motions of the wave.
I believe that's called the Yamato cannon.
No, that's the wave motion gun. Q Star Blazers. Anyway.
No, but I
see. No, we have renewable energies that we should be setting up and getting into place and working on that. We could be working on making the country and putting us back into a position where the world looks at us and goes, we should start being more like them. Again, we were in that spot once before. We could be there again. And I'm not saying completely ignore the other countries, but I'm saying let's stop trying to dictate their politics. They have to go through their growing pains. They have to go and make their mistakes the same way we make our own mistakes. But if all we do is focus on wars, we're never going to grow as a country except as a military machine. And we're so much more than that.
Okay. Joe, where do you want to go on this one?
Well, thankfully, Tech took care of that big spiel. That's part of what I would have gone over. In relation to what he said, another reason we really shouldn't be over there and why we shouldn't be going over there and why we shouldn't be there in the first place is that, look, folks, we're talking about other nations here. We're talking about other people and other cultures, and they do not see the world exactly as we do, as much as we would like them to. Can't have everybody thinking the same way. That would get really boring really fast. But plain and simple, going over there one way or another, we are in fact infringing on the sovereignty of another people, of another nation, and for America to be doing that, things get hypocritical really fast. And however, on the other hand, having been over there, having seen what's going on over there, I can't fully say that we shouldn't go over there. But the way we're going about it, I think, is wrong. That's from a veteran standpoint. I really do think that we really need to find, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be something that works out better, because you're right. The people over there are very cruel. And unfortunately, we constantly run into a situation where we have tried to prop up governments over there to try to emulate as close as we can to what we have over here. And the problem is, A, it doesn't mesh well with their culture, and B, here's the problem. The minority that is capable of inflicting this much cruelty, they are unfortunately the people with all the power. And even if we strip them of the power, there are those kinds of cruel people all over. And it just takes them a little know-how and a little determination to build that power up. And, you know, next thing you know, we have another coup, we have another uprising, we have another revolution, and it starts all over again. So what I'm saying is I don't have an answer as to what we can or need to do over there, but I do know that what we're doing over there currently and what we've done in the past is not the right way to go about things, and there has to be a better way.
And I think there is one. My outlook on this one is also split, and part of the split is going to seem very stupid on the face of it. However, it's one of those things where you really need to take a couple of moments to think about it before you just dismiss it outright.
Well, I don't think, give us the gist of it and then explain the break-off.
Yeah. First one, like I said, on the no side of it is, and like I said, this is going to sound very stupid on the face of it until you kind of go into it. I'm going to paraphrase from Star Trek. The prime directive is not to interfere in a developing culture. And that, to me, is a very profound ideal. The idea of it at the time was, as a spacefaring culture, the United Federation of Planets was supposed to go out there and learn about new groups and investigate them, make contact, and grow the knowledge, and effectively be like as if the United Nations was going out there and learning about new peoples around the Earth, but of course at a much larger scale. But to not interfere with a sovereign group's self-determination of how they will be. And in a way, I really feel like that is an incredibly powerful, poignant, and immutable point. Any nation to go in and change how another nation operates is called imperialism. And that is something that we really should not start. Because why do you do it? When do you stop? I don't like the idea of the slippery slope argument, but it is very, very easy to see where, even if it's a wrong ideal, where there is a legitimate warning to be placed. Why should we go over and change how they operate for good or for ill? We tried to do that with Iraq. Russia tried to do that with
Afghanistan.
With Afghanistan. The
Germany tried to do that with the world.
Twice.
Twice.
And as much as it's laughable, Joe, you know full well, from a certain point of view, that is quite correct.
Yes, then, and so did France.
Yes, very much so. And England conquered the, not exactly conquered, but they influenced, infected is another way of thinking about it, the face of the planet. I mean, there is the line that the sun will not set on the British Empire, and for decades, quite right.
And unfortunately, we're not necessarily innocent in this regard ourselves.
True.
Those of you who are keen on your U.S. history, might I remind you of the Monroe Doctrine and the fact that despite being what were claimed U.S. territories, Guam, Panama, Costa Rica is still not even a state.
Yep. And let's face it.
Sorry, not Costa Rica, Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, right. Anyway, and let's not forget the kingdom of Hawaii. It was a kingdom. It was its own sovereign place, and we stepped into it. And in our own way, because of it, we brought World War II to them.
Yeah, and
from a certain way of looking at it.
And to date, they are still the only monarchy in the U.S. And the monarchy is still in place. It's just it's very much like the the British monarchy. They're there. They just are not in function as far as politics are concerned. And I don't know what just happened to my camera.
I do not know either myself, but get back to that in a minute. Anyway, that's on the no side for me. I do not think that we should, the United States, I should say, should be meddling in some other sovereign countries' affairs. However, there is a way of I will name for you a person, a singular person that may be one of the answers to this kind of question. She was born July of 1997. She's currently 16 years old. And at the age of 14, her crime was that she wanted to learn. And she was living in northwest Pakistan. And she was shot at almost point-blank range with a Colt 45.
Was she the one who was shot in the face?
Three shots into her face.
On her school bus.
Malala Yousafzai. And she fortunately survived. And maybe that is the best part about this whole story. Because she did not end up a dead martyr. She ended up a live person to say, they can't kill me. they will not kill me. And even if they do, they won't stop my voice. Now, she has not said that in quite those words, but the effect is still the same. When she was taken to hospital, flown to Great Britain, there were reports of also young ladies around the same age who said, and again, I'm paraphrasing, we will fight for Malala by reading, by learning. That is the biggest part of it all. When the people themselves finally say, this is enough, then the change can happen. It happened in 1989 at Tiananmen Square. One man stood up to a line of, I forget if it was nine or more,
tanks.
I'm trying to remember what, suddenly I thought that I remember what they were specifically.
Does it even have to be more than one? They were no. T-80s.
You're quite right, and it doesn't matter. He literally stood in the middle of the road in front of a tank that could have just plowed over him, and he stood and said no. And when they tried to turn away, he moved aside in front of them again and said no. The bravery of the individual, that show of personal strength and integrity, is what starts it. It's not somebody else coming in and saying you're doing wrong. I mean, hell, you want to go back 225 years or so? This country was founded on the idea of people actually saying, look, you're screwing us over. That's enough. That's what it all came down to for the United States. So should we go in and change? Should we go in and force new doctrine down somebody else's throat? Could we? Sure. Yeah, we could.
Well, I don't think we could.
No. We could. We
try.
But ultimately, what's the point? It's like if you force somebody to do something, they'll go ahead and after you beat them enough times, sure, they'll go ahead and they'll do what you want. Any dog that you beat often enough will do what you want it to do. Before it bites you back. And really, that's not what you want. It has to come from within.
This is something that they really do need to decide for themselves.
As a society. Yeah. And
for those of you out there who are thinking, well, you know, we're definitely need to be involved in the Middle East because, well, oil. You do realize that while we use oils to make plastics and all sorts of other stuff, we could severely lower our dependency on oils if we would just stop letting the oil companies tell our politicians that no, solar energy won't work. No, wind power won't work. No, wave motion, the power of the ocean won't work. You know, yeah, I caught myself on that one. But you yourself have to go out and vote. You can't say on Twitter to your politician, hey, don't listen to this person who's paying, what do they call them? They're paying.
The lobbyists.
Yeah, you can't just go on Twitter or Facebook and say, hey, listen, you know, don't listen to this lobbyist because, you know, they're full of shit. Whether you think that works or not, that's immaterial. What really works is when you handwrite a letter to your politicians. When you make a phone call and say, listen, I am one of your constituents. My concern is this article that's going up for a vote. It concerns this topic. Here's where my concern is, and here's where I think should be done. They say thank you, they pass along the message, and they tally it up. It really is a matter of statistics. But when you do it on Facebook, when you do that little thing on the White House website or Twitter, believe it or not, it's labeled spam, and it goes away.
for that same reason, while we do have the right to petition, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to say, but petitions aren't enough. Because just putting your name on something that somebody else wrote and having that sent in, they really don't pay attention to them. Well, you and just one person calling in or writing a letter isn't enough. That, and that's pretty much what a petition is. It's just one person writing a letter and then, you know, a bunch of people agreeing to it. No, 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 no. You need to take the responsibility. And that's one of the things that so many people don't understand, is that voting and, you know, legislation, it is our responsibility as citizens here. And you really need to take the responsibility on yourself to contact your legislators and your representatives, because they are your representatives. Whether you voted for them or not, they still answer to you. And you need to contact your friends and have them do the same. Not both of you send your own letters with your own opinions or your own phone calls. Once they realize that their fucking their phone roster for that day is completely packed up until, you know, 3 months in advance, they're going to start noticing.
Especially when the phone lines start getting flooded, a call after call after call on the same topic. Even if the concerns are slightly different from each other, they notice these things because it interrupts their day. You literally have to inconvenience them to get them to notice you, because there are so many people trying to reach them.
And the worst part of
I'm
it
not
is
saying be the biggest dick, but DJ rule number one, or DJ rule zero, be a dick.
Yeah,
just
and the
don't
worst part
use
of it
dick
is,
language.
Yeah, the worst part of it is you're not, because of the job, it shouldn't be viewed as inconveniencing. That's the job. At least that's theoretically the way that it should be viewed.
I agree with you on theoretically, because there was a case, I think it was Texas, a lady was trying to talk to one of her public representatives, another woman, mind you, so this is woman to woman, and she's trying to bring up the topic of abortion, and the way the votes, the way that, you know, her opinion and everything else, and the public office, the lady holding public office kept interrupting her, and the constituent said, "Wait a minute, you're interrupting me? Is this going against my 2 minutes of time that I have that's been allocated?" And the constituent was informed that yes, it is using up your time. They said, "Well, no, that doesn't work. You hold public office. You work for me. This is the topic that's being addressed. You will not interrupt me." And basically what ended up happening after a little bit of back and forth is that the public officer, I forget the name of the lady, had the resident cop on duty escort the lady from the building and was told the police officer, if she comes back, arrest her. Because she didn't want to talk about the topic of abortion, even though she was supposed to be able to.
Which is just stupid.
We the people are letting our politicians get away with things that they are not supposed to be able to get away with. And the reason why they're getting away with it is because people are making other things the public's primary concern. You're more worried about there are more people worried about whether or not Bible study is allowed in school. Or I should say there are more people worried about pushing Bible study into school, into the science classroom, than they're worried about their politician taking away their rights, because their politician's a good Christian. They've got their interest at best at heart. Really? Yeah. You keep thinking that, and little, while you focus on your Christian topic, they're pulling the rug out from underneath you. Take a step back. Put your faith to the side and say, listen, are they doing the job? Are they looking out for me? Do they have my interests at heart? Do they have my taxes at heart? Do they have my home and everything else? And I mean, you know, Joe, you could probably speak to this one.
Oh, yeah. Faith aside, is it in my best interest that I now have to pay 5 packs for a pack of cigarettes instead of $1.25? I understand that, you know, they're bad for me. And I know that it's the politically incorrect and socially incorrect thing to do, but it's what I choose to do with my body. Now, I'm, for those of you who know me, I'm in the process of actually quitting because I promised a 7-year-old that I would, and she's going to rip my face off. Hi, TT. Love you.
Just a little bit.
But it's also a matter of what is government's responsibility? It's sure as hell not telling me what I should be doing to make my health better. They can make their suggestions all they want, and they can make their PSAs, but when they start physically or financially trying to dictate that, that's not what government's meant for.
Yeah, very much so. There's a whole bunch of stuff that we could probably dovetail further onto that one, but we're gonna have to clip that one out. We're about an hour into the show, so those of you that are still watching, of course, thank you very much. If you'd like to still get in for the last half an hour or so of the stuff, the Q&A system is still available for you. And of course, if you're watching from the future, you know, just tune in sometime live with us, because that would be really, really nice.
I like Rain's question there.
Yeah, question from Rain. How do you guys think the quote soulmate thing works, if you believe that such a connection exists?
You guys go first on this one.
Oh, this is going to be a doozy. Joe?
Oh, yeah, put me on the spot, why don't you?
Or if you want, I will gladly cover it.
Shujin, it is so rare that you take the first word on something. Do it, man.
Yeah, go for it, man.
Well, there's a reason why, and it's usually because I end up capping stuff because, I mean, officially it's my show, so I kind of take the very last to kind of smooth over the last pieces of it all.
Let's have rough edges, like real relationships.
How does a soulmate thing work? Well, first off, you need to have a really, really good kiss. And before you start thinking that I'm being all romantic, no, there's a biological part to it all. A kiss helps both bodies determine who's got the better immune system. Okay, good. I'm compatible with you. You've got stuff I don't have. I got stuff you don't have. Let's make babies. Believe it or not, there is actually that whole biological piece of it all, and I'm not making this up. However, from the emotional side, soulmates is not a thing that just suddenly happens. Soulmates is something that evolves and grows and morphs into something that you would not have expected from someone that you might not have considered previously. Soulmate is not a magic, everything's going to be beautiful for the rest of whatever. Soulmate is, I fill in the gaps that you don't have, and you fill in the gaps that I don't have, and in the middle of it all, we have fun. That's it. That's really what it comes down to. It's a matter of respect. It's a matter of loving the person that you're with, enjoying the pieces, being confident and comfortable enough to be able to say, I don't have to be with you every second of every day, because I know that what I want to do is not always stuff that you want to do, and vice versa. But I'm willing to be there with you to share the experience, to go back and forth, and to fill in the gaps when you can't do something, or to pick up the slack and to let you do the same for me. That sure as hell better not be Jake, because I will be really ticked off. Joe, while I'm figuring out what this is, you go right ahead.
Well, my take on it, my official take on it may seem mediocre at best. I'm no expert in anything. I'm a jack of all trades. I dabble in everything. I am a layman as lay as it gets. No pun intended. But the idea of a soulmate, to me, it's all about friendship. Friendship is what binds us all together as human beings. It's what creates communities. It's what creates relationships. And it's not just acting in common interest. It's, with the soulmate, to me, it's, I like you. I enjoy my time with you, and I think that I would enjoy a lifetime of time with you, and we're going to fight and we're going to argue because that's what friends do, but we're going to forgive one another when that comes because that's what friends do also. And, you know, when I need a shoulder to lean on, you know, I'll be your shoulder and you be my shoulder. And just enjoy life together. That's, you know, it's the same as what you do with any other friend, but just more so. It's just enjoy. Life is short. Life is fleeting. And
yeah,
you gotta enjoy it. You really do.
Tech?
Oh, I was waiting for the cheesy music to, you know, to cue into the background on that one.
I can't edit that in. I'm sorry.
I'm probably one of the worst people to talk to about Soulmate, as well as probably one of not the worst to talk to. Most of my relationships didn't last very long. Because one, I am a hopeless romantic. I have always been, well, I have always been since puberty. Anyway, yeah. I have some weird notions about relationships. But at the end of the day, I don't think there is such a thing as a soulmate. There are people that work well together. But I understand that the concept of love, which is chemical in nature, can eventually stop. You can eventually stop loving someone because you've grown apart. And if you're mature about your relationship, you will be able to recognize it. Both parties will be able to recognize it and deal with it. Now, if there's kids involved, they'll deal with it in a way that best benefits the children. Okay? Because they're still growing. They're still learning. They're going to take your examples. If there's no children involved, you may end up staying friends, keeping close contact with each other and ensuring that, you know, hey, we've separated. Our lives used to be heavily intertwined. We're slowly pulling apart. Let's make sure each other's okay in the process of separation. There are other people who aren't going to have that happen. You know, that their bond is strong, that they've continued to stay in love. There's also other people who get together and they think it's love and it's actually lust. You know, however long that lasts, that lasts. But the point is no matter what your relationship is, no matter what it's based on, you should always have a part of your brain willing to accept the fact that if it does end, whether you did something or not to make it end, that you should make it end on the best possible note. And if it doesn't end, enjoy every moment of it and treasure every moment of it. Okay? Don't worry about whether it's going to end or not. Don't worry about whether or not it's going to last forever. Enjoy your time together. Cherish one another. Respect one another. And remember, they're not you. You fell in love with them for certain qualities. Just because those qualities may have changed or shifted over time, that's something you have to be willing to accept or deny. If you deny it, move on. If you accept it, accept it. But don't keep trying to change other people. People change over time.
Which kind of sounds like it's almost the same advice at the end of that as what we're talking about with possibly trying to change new governments to behave differently. Oddly enough.
No, because my government is an elected position.
No, change somebody
with
else's
money government. Involved.
Somebody else's government.
Oh. Right, yes. Well, hey, like I said, like I was saying about changing the government, I think we could have a better chance of enacting change in other governments for the positive. And when I say for the positive, I don't mean for the positive for the United States. I mean a positive for the whole world. by being a better example, by setting a better example. We used to do that. Let's do it again. We can do it without the religion. If they want to see how a country can survive with multiple religions and no religion at all coexisting, let's be that example.
Sure. All we have to do is just change our name to Norway or Sweden, and we're great. I mean, everything will work out just fine that way.
We can be so much better than Sweden.
Well, no, because, I mean, hot springs, fiber optic to everybody's home, and
those enormous Scandinavian women.
And right now, remember, well, I was saying,
yeah,
if we don't let the lobbyists control our politicians, we could be better than Sweden.
Only just slightly. All right. And Rain is recommented back, by the way. I completely agree, but to different extents on each point. And thank you. That really is good to hear. And I'll tell you why in a second. You guys are awesome. Thanks again. You're welcome. What I like the most about that is that you're not agreeing with everything. That, believe it or not, is one of the hallmarks of good discussion. You don't agree with everything 100% of the way. Good. That means that you've got your own ideas of ways that you think about it, and good. That's what to think about.
We would also accept, I completely disagree with you.
Yep.
I completely disagree, and here's my reasons. And that's pretty freaking hot. Take me now.
Joe, you look like you're ready to go ahead and add on that? Nope.
Well, Tech, I didn't know you felt that way, but...
No, Joe, you're supposed to smoke after, not before, after.
Yeah, if you're smoking before or during, you're doing something wrong.
Or we're doing something incredibly right, and you just don't know it yet.
No, you're doing something incredibly right when it's the neighbors that are having a cigarette when you're done.
To go nothing whatsoever to go along with that. Since we've only got about another 15 minutes left in the show, I want to cover something that is kind of impressive, kind of important, that came down just within the last couple of days, within the last week. A new meta-analysis has come out this past week. Now, for folks that don't understand what the term meta-analysis means, if you were to take a question, for instance, hypothetically speaking...
How many people own a flashlight? Here's a good question.
This is really not helping. I'll show you why. If you were to take the question, do various vaccines cause bad things to happen in children's brains? If you were to take that question and devise a study to try and figure out what happens to young children when they get vaccines, you would then create a questionnaire, you would create a scientific idea, you would try to investigate that and come up with the answers. You would find the data and extrapolate your conclusions from the data, preferably with good data. And you would have a study, one study. Now, if many people were to have a similar idea and try to follow a similar fashion and try to understand it even better, you would have many studies, but they would all be their own individual study. A meta-analysis of studies takes as many of those similar studies as possible, pulls them together, and tries to understand, when you take that question and you have it farmed out all over the place, what happens when that crowdsourced information gets pulled together? What can we learn from that? So this says, analysis of 10 studies, now that may not sound like it's a big number, but follow me, involving more than 1.2 million children, it's a pretty large grouping, million children, reaffirm that vaccines don't cause autism. MMR shot may actually decrease risk. There is no association between vaccines and autism, according to a meta-analysis that was, information was released within the last week, 10 days or so. And you can find out a lot more about the information in the journal Vaccine. And it's really impressive. If you consider that they're talking about a study that looks at 1.2 million children, that's a lot of people. I mean, you can't pawn that off as a small sample size of 10, 20 kids in one office of one doctor. Over a million children. That's a lot. It really, really is a lot. And I know that sounds stupid to say it that way because it's, I mean, come on, it's a million children. But when you're talking about trying to find out what happens when this happens to this individual in these circumstances, in this socioeconomic strata, in this geophysical location, geopolitical location on the planet, and you follow that up over a million times, you start to get good data. You start to get a lot of good data where you will find stuff clumps together in data points. And yeah, there's still going to be the odd item out. But when you've got a lot of data, a few items that fall way out of the range on a bell curve, yeah, you can finally look at it and go, wow, okay, those are just weird items that just kind of happened, but everything follows this nice line that we were expecting. Not to mention that there are also studies that are looking at the question of what causes autism, and it would appear that the beginnings of autism begin in the womb during development. There may be a genetic link to the development of the brain as it's still forming that makes autism a thing. And Tech, it sounded like you were ready to go ahead and jump on that really quick.
I was just going to say is that autism is beginning before even a time of vaccination for the child.
Yeah.
And of course, you're still going to have any vaxxers who are going to desperately cling to their statements now that there's something else going against them. And it would not surprise me to hear one of them say, well, you know, it must be caused by the adult who had the vaccination. Really? So how about all those adults that don't have vaccinations who have kids with autism? What are you going to blame it on then?
Yeah.
Joe? Look, I know the supposed statistics that are thrown around about this, and I know as someone who does not have children, a lot of people would feel that I have absolutely no right to speak about it. While I may not have children of my own, I have a niece, I have a nephew, I have two nephews now. I'm probably incapable of having children of my own, but that's the beauty of being an uncle, is that I don't have to because I get to shower my nieces and nephews with as much love as I can. But I would much rather, if I had children, if I had just one child, I would much rather that child take the chance of being the 1 in 100 to develop autism than to be one of the 60 or 70 in 100 to die of polio or to die of whooping cough or smallpox or the list goes on.
Yeah, and as has been said before, if you have never heard what a child with whooping cough sounds like, find out what it sounds like and listen to it for 10 seconds. You will never, never want that to ever happen to any child, ever.
On a happier note, a slight backtrack to the previous topic of soulmates. Look, people, you may not find the perfect person out there for you, but nobody's perfect. We're all going to disagree sometime. Just find somebody that you really like spending time with and spend your time with them. And even if you don't agree all the time, the makeup sex is awesome.
Oh, if only I remembered what that was like. Oh, well. Anyway, we've only got a couple more minutes over here. So before we get out of here, Tech, last go around. Anything really quickly that you want to hit that, you know, a minute?
Sure. I know people who are watching who are of a Christian background are saying, not necessarily saying, but they might be thinking about, oh, you know, he's attacking religion, you know, in the school. Seems like, no, this goes back to when I was saying, Bible study in the science class. Listen, science is not religion. It never will be. Forget it, okay? But I have no, I will have a problem, and I will continue to fight against people who tell me that my son, who's 8 years old, when he goes into science class and he's learning all the sciencey stuff, all the really cool things about our world and our universe and our cosmos all around us, and you're telling me that he has to learn to pray Jesus and accept Jesus as the one and true Savior and Creator of the world, I'm going to fight you tooth and nail. But what I'm not going to fight you on is when your child goes to lunch and they decide that they're going to pray over their meal in thankfulness, because that's their right. They're allowed to do that. I'm not going to stop them from doing that. Now, if your child demands that the whole table pray with them, there's going to be words that are going to be said. Granted, I'm going to say them to your face rather than the school, because that's not the school's fault. That's what you're telling your child to do, or your religion is telling your child to do, and that is not proper behavior in a public school system. If you truly believe that your child should not be learning science and that they should be learning religion instead, send them to a private religious-based school. They exist in every state of the U.S. You can't not find one, okay? But like I said, I have no problems with your child going to public school. I have no problem with your child going out during their lunch break and praying around the flagpole because they heard on the news that recently, you know, a bunch of people got bombed in a car bombing. You know, I have no problems with that. You know, that's something that they're going to do. That's something that they feel the need to do. I have no problems paying, with them keeping other people in their thoughts. But leave science alone. Leave geography alone and history. Stop trying to change that stuff. I will fight you tooth and nail with my dying breath. And that's just the way it is, because that's the way it's supposed to be. Take your child to church, temple, synagogue, whatever. I'm not going to stop you. That's what those places are for. And I know there are some anti-theists who say that religion should go bye-bye. No. That's one of the freedoms in this country, is the freedom of religion, just like I have the freedom from not being bullied by your religion. So I will fight just as hard to keep your churches and your temples and your synagogues open as I will fight to keep those out of my science.
Joe?
I'm going to be a little cheap here, and I'm going to do a little experiment.
Christ. Wait, you got to put on the bow tie first. Bill Nye, the science guy.
No, if I was going to do anything, I'd put on a sweater.
Joe, if this is a matter of putting that on your head and hoping that a Nigerian prince will send you money, that only works on 4chan.
Nope. Here I have a shoe.
Yes, you do.
Bless you.
I threw that shoe. It made a noise. That is because the shoe hit the wall, caused a vibration. That vibration transferred to the air, which came back to my ears. That is science, something that we can test, something that we can prove. That is what the purpose of schools are.
But I didn't see it happen.
Did you see it? Yeah, you didn't see it happen.
See, I saw you throw the shoe, but you didn't hit the wall behind you. That way I could hear it and see it at the same time. There we go. Perfect.
Better?
Yes.
Okay, here's another shoe. Now, I'm going to go ahead and toss it.
still made a sound, despite the fact that I could have been praying to God that it wouldn't make a sound, or that I wouldn't throw that shoe. These are theocratic, or these are theologic matters that we do not discuss in schools, because they are a matter of faith and a matter of opinion and a matter of culture that is something that is to be taught at the home or in the place of worship. It is not something that we can test. It is not something that we can rationalize. It's something that we can look on as a historical, from a historical point of view. You know, this religion was founded or so at this time, because we actually have dates and times and places that we can prove that that happened, and we have records. Now, of course...
Well, we can prove an existence, not necessarily the actions at those times, but we can definitely prove locations on the planet.
Yeah. I'm not saying we can prove that, you know, Moses crossed the Red Sea. I'm saying that we can prove that around this time, in this particular place, Judaism took root. That's what I'm saying. Look, it's as Tech said, schools are for places of learning of the world around us where we can observe things. The purpose of a school, of teaching anybody anything, is so that they have that collective knowledge so that they don't have to go to the stove and put their fucking hand into the fire to see, oh my God, this is a bad idea. That is the purpose of public education. And I'm sorry to say, but religion has no place in that. Whether it's in our government, or whether it's in our government-based schools, or any other school on the planet.
That's all I've got to say about that. I knew that was coming. All right. And with that, it is about that time that we go ahead and we close things up for us. I want to, of course, thank the panel this evening, short panel that it might be. Joe, thank you very much for your time.
No problem. My pleasure. Always happy to be here.
Okay. And Unrenowned Tech, of course, thank you very much.
And I'm always happy to pleasure myself. I mean, I'm it's a pleasure to be happy myself. I mean, wait, no, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for pleasuring me. I mean, forget it.
I'd also like to very much thank Jake for Wharton for not holding that against us when you finally decide to come on the show. I appreciate that greatly. And, of course, Sam Mulvey. And
you know Jake would be laughing if he saw that right now.
I'm sure he actually is right now. In any event, thank you all for taking the time to watch. We really do appreciate it. We do recognize that as far as skeptic and atheist shows are concerned, we are a very, very different set. We know that. So for those of you that take the time, thank you. We really, really do appreciate your time. And hope that you...
In the words of Morgan Freeman, that's just how the holy crap do.
Okay, sure, yeah. We'll go ahead and hold on to that one. Anyway.
Okay.
Our next scheduled show is going to be the 8th of June. And at the moment, I do not have a topic. Like I said, I am sincerely hoping to get possibly Jake Farwharton from the Imaginary Friends Show Don't Comb podcast. Yes, I pronounce it correctly, because I'm hoping to convince him to show up. I was lucky enough to get him on my 36-hour radio stream. That was very, very nice. And Jake, thank you. Thank you very kindly. I really do appreciate that. Sam Mulvey from Ask an Atheist. I do have information out to him. He does seem to be quite interested, so I'm going to be looking forward to that. And even if he's not on anytime soon, congratulations, guys, for getting yourselves into several new radio stations. Good job, and much continued success. And we'll be looking forward to seeing you guys again sometime in the near future. We don't always come up with the solutions to a question, but that's not really what we're about. without really talking through and trying to figure out why should the question be worthwhile? Why should we care? And why do we think about it the way that we do?
Sometimes and why does Zytrate come in a little glass vial?
And can you see why kids love the taste of new Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
And more importantly, is it any surprise that I don't go asking for money? We ain't going to be on Patreon. I ain't going to be asking for money on PayPal. If you really want to help us, watch the show. Let people know. Have them join us. If you'd like to find out a little bit more as we're going along, find me and follow me over on G+, on Twitter, on Facebook. You can find me on a whole bunch of places under the name Shujin Tribble, just the way that you see it. And if you'd like to send in information via email, just send it to me as shujintribble@gmail.com. And please put in the subject line, Holy Crap. If you'd like to be part of the Holy Crap Circle on G+, if you friend me or put me into a circle on G+, please send me a message and let me know so I can let you know about that too.
Oh, and Pepsi, I really love the Mountain Dew Kickstart Fruit Punch. That stuff is fantastic. Forget what I said about Coke earlier.
Oh, good. It's Mr. Pibb.
Oh, snap.
In the meantime, we have to get out of here.
Yes, for me.
Not the first time. Until the very next time we get together, everybody, thank you so very much.
Bottles, man.
If you would also like to assist me, normally during the year I don't do this, but for the next couple of weeks I will be reminding folks, if you would like to help out with my fundraising campaign for the Ride for Roswell, for the Roswell Park Cancer Institute here in Buffalo, please look me up over on rideforroswell.org. The team name is End of Cycle for Sarcoma. If you're planning on being here in Buffalo, we'd love to have you. If not, if you'd like to contribute to it, please look up the team name, and you can donate directly to the team. If you're looking at donating a couple hundred dollars, please sign up as a virtual rider and join the team. No matter what, thank you. And of course, until the next time, we'll see you soon. As always, I wish to my lady, Matene Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. We've passed 9 years since she's gone, and I am still in love. Until the next time we get together, everyone, as always, I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. Until the very next time we get together.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+ pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.